Like to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll read the first 7 verses. Now there cried a certain woman from the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen." Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." And he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There's not a vessel more," and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and said, and he said, "Go sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Elisha replaced Elijah as Israel's chief prophet. And Elisha's ministry is recorded beginning in 2 Kings chapter 2, going through verse 20 of chapter 13. Now, what we read here, of course, took place in the early part of Elisha's ministry. And we see that what we read here involves a widow of one of the sons of the prophets. Now, Elisha's name means God is salvation. The ministry of Elisha was characterized by many miracles. It was characterized by a great variety of miracles. And all of these miracles serve to illustrate this fact that God is salvation, or there is deliverance in God. What we read here is the record of one of those miracles during the ministry of Elisha. A miracle is an occurrence above nature, an occurrence above the ability of man. A miracle is the intervention and the manifestation of God's power. A miracle basically is God in action. It's seen God in action. Again, God is always in action, but a miracle is the actual scene of God in action, something that is beyond nature, beyond the ability of man. So therefore, miracles are exciting. Even lost people find miracles to be exciting. Miracles are very instructing. Miracles are revealing. Miracles are encouraging. And so when we read of a miracle in the Word of God, that passage of Scripture is exciting, it's instructive, it's revealing, and it's encouraging. Some of the revelations of this account that we read here, some of the things we learn is God can. We need to keep those 2 words in our minds at all times. God can. We see also the miraculous provision of God in this miracle. And we see that God specializes in filling emptiness. In verse 1, we see a statement of fact that is made by this widow woman. The creditor is come. That word come speaks of an occurrence. It speaks of something that has taken place, the creditor is come. Something has come about. The creditor is come. Something has materialized. Something has transpired. This is always so in our life. In our text, the creditor had now come into her life. And there is always something. It is always true. There is always something coming into our lives. But in our text, the creditor is come. Has reference to the fact that a trial, a great difficulty, a trouble has occurred in this woman's life. A trial has come about in her life. A trial has materialized in her life. The creditor is come. Now you and I can put anything that we can imagine in front of that word, come. In our text it is, the creditor is come. We can put anything in front of come. You can put what you consider good. You can put what you consider to be bad. But whatever you put there, whether it is good or bad, the teaching and the example of our text remains the same. At any time in our lives, difficulties may come, problems may come, sickness may come, disease, death, tragedy. At any time, these things can come into our life. Bankruptcy, sorrows, heartaches, trials, confusion, anxiety, disappointment, turmoil, temptations, storms, battles, struggles, obstacles, darkness, loneliness, change, upheaval, uncertainty, defeat, fear, depression. At any time, these things can materialize in our lives. Any and all of these things can come in the realm of the physical, the realm of the emotional, or the realm of the spiritual. In other words, anything can come in any area of our life. We don't know. The creditor is come. In this message, we want to focus upon what this woman did when the unpleasant came into her life, and the instruction that she received. What is written here presents to us, which will prove to be very, very beneficial to us, no matter what we put in front of that word, come. No matter what comes into our life. Again, we would remind you of Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that ye through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We want to speak this morning on whatever comes. Whatever comes. Notice the circumstances of this woman. In verse 1, we see that she had experienced a great and sorrowful loss. Her husband, who had been faithful in God's service, had died. There is a tone of sorrow, there is a tone of pain in her words. My husband is dead. My husband is dead. So there was sorrow over a loss. In addition to that, there was a debt. She says, the creditor is come. My husband is dead, and the creditor is come. She had two sons to care for, but she has no husband. She has no money. She has no food. She has no source of income. There are no government programs for her to apply for. There is absolutely no prospect of improvement. In light of all of that, hear her say, with no doubt a tone of worry, a tone of great concern, the creditor is come. In addition to her loss, in addition to her debt, in addition to her inability to pay her debt, there was also the threat and dread of that which would be absolutely devastating to her. The threat and dread of the unthinkable. The creditor is come to take unto him my two sons. Perhaps she had been harassed by the creditor for some time. Perhaps she has given him everything up to this point. But the debt still remains. And now the creditor has come to her house. And he says something like this: you have X amount of time to give me my money, or I'm going to take your sons and sell them as slaves. She's in danger of losing her children. She has run out of options. She has no resource, and now it appears that she is running out of time. Her need is urgent. Things are dark. Things are grim, and they're worsening. It appears that disaster is on the horizon. The future looks very, very bleak. Again, notice her words there in verse 1. My husband is dead. Put the emphasis upon my husband. The creditor is come to take my two sons. These are the words of one who has a desperate need. These are the words of one who is burdened down with what appears to be an unsolvable problem, an impossible situation. Again, my husband is dead. The creditor is come to take away my two sons. These are the words of one who is in the midst of great turmoil. She is under the weight of a tremendous pressure, and she is absolutely overwhelmed with her situation. In her words, my husband is dead, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons. You can hear the anguish in her words. You can hear the distress that she is in. You can hear the pain and the sorrow and the heartache and the disappointment and the fear and the anxiety and the absolute sense of helplessness that she was experiencing. And without a doubt, this woman fully realized and was painfully aware that she had a great and urgent need. And sadly, this is where many get stuck. This is where they stop. They realize, yes, I have a need. But you have to get beyond that. You have to go to the next step. What are you going to do? What are you going to do concerning that need? We have to get to the point where we realize, yes, I have a need. But you can't stop there. You got to go on. And that brings us to what she did under these circumstances and the instruction that she received. She realizes she has a need. So what does she do? She seeks the Lord. She does so through the prophet Elisha. Notice verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman. But it does not end there. Simply realizing that you have a need and crying over that need will not enable you to break free. So it goes on. She did not just simply cry. It says, there cried a certain woman unto Elisha. She did not turn to the world for advice. She did not throw up her hands and give up. She did not divorce herself from the fact of her situation. That is, just don't think about it. Try that sometime. It doesn't work. She did not spend her time questioning God. She did not spend her time feeling sorry for herself. And she did not cease contact with the servants of God. But she cried unto Elisha. And she did so in great distress and need, out of a sense of helplessness and urgency. She cried unto Elisha, not because she wanted him to give her money. That's not the reason she cried unto Elisha. She cried unto Elisha because she believed that he was the spokesman for God and that he could instruct her as to what God would have her to do. In other words, she is crying after she wanted to know what God would have her to do. So here she is. She has this need. She is in the midst of an impossible situation. She is very painfully aware of her circumstances. And she wants to know what God would have her to do. In seeking or in crying unto Elisha, she was seeking God's help. She was seeking God's will. And when it happens in our life, the creditor has come. Again, put anything in the place of creditor. What we need to do is cry unto God. Seek God. Seek God's help. What would God want me to do in this circumstance? She knew that she was in need of a miracle. She could not pay her debt. She needed a miracle. So what did she do? She sought the miracle worker. Makes sense. You need a miracle? Seek the miracle worker. Seek the one who can do the miraculous. Whatever comes, and it could be anything, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Secondly, she is brought to recognize what she had. Notice in verse 2 that she did not begin by saying, "Elisha, I have a pot of oil." That's not how she began. The emphasis of her statement is like that of many. "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house." That is the emphasis. That is where she began. She did not begin with, "I have a pot of oil." That's not where she began. She began with, "I have not anything in the house." May we never forget that as a child of God, it is never, and I mean never, "I have not anything." It's not so. No matter how bad and how barren it is, you and I, as the children of God, we have. We have. But we often focus on what we don't have rather than on what we do have. And as a result, we remain in fear and bondage, never breaking free, never advancing to the next spiritual level. Whatever comes, and again, I remind you, it could be anything. Recognize what you have. Recognize what you have. Thirdly, she realized that she is not sufficient. Verse 2 again, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save or except a pot of oil." A pot of oil was not sufficient to meet her needs. A pot of oil was not sufficient to meet the demands of the creditor. It was not sufficient for what had come into her life. And whatever comes, and again, it could be anything, recognize that you are not sufficient. You are not sufficient. Paul makes this plain in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. The truth is, you can have a million pots of oil, but there will be things that will come into your life that even a million pots of oil will not suffice. We need to realize that. "Well, I'm saving, I'm saving, I'm saving." Go ahead and save. But realize there are things that can come into your life, and I don't care how much you save, it will not fix what's coming into your life. So we need to realize our insufficiency. Fourthly, she listened to and received. Notice I didn't just say she listened. She listened to and received instruction from God. She not only sought God through Elisha, but she listened carefully to what Elisha said. And she received in her heart what the Lord said to her through Elisha. The instruction that he gave her is recorded in verses 3 and 4. He says, go to your neighbors, and you borrow as many vessels as you, as many empty vessels as you can. And after you have borrowed these vessels, you return home, and you shut the door upon you and your sons, and you take your one pot of oil, and you pour into all those empty vessels. The instruction is beyond what she anything that she thought that Elisha might say to her. I guarantee you that as she was on her way to Elisha, she didn't think one moment, I believe this is what he'll say to me. I believe he'll tell me to go borrow empty vessels from my neighbors and then come home and shut the door upon me and my sons and then take that pot of oil and pour into these empty vessels. That never crossed her mind. Never. We see it's beyond the answer or the instruction was beyond anything that she would ever think. The instruction was contrary to human thought and reasoning. You may say, well, I need time to think about this. And we understand that that can be true, but be careful. You get yourself in a lot of trouble thinking. Because our thoughts run contrary. And our reasoning runs contrary to God. Whatever comes, and it could be anything, seek the Lord, listen to the Lord, and receive the instruction of the Lord. And then notice, fifthly, she believed. She believed the instruction of God. The promise of God is stated to her in the instruction. In verse 4, it says, shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. There's the promise. There's the promise. You pour out of that pot of oil into an empty vessel that may be larger than your pot of oil. And you pour until it's full. So there's the promise. God would fill the vessels. And he would use that pot of oil to do so. Now there is no way that this woman understood how one pot of oil could fill multiple vessels. But she believed. She didn't understand it, but she believed that God would fill those empty vessels. She knew how much oil she had in that one pot, and she knew that there were more vessels than she had in that pot. But she had in her heart and mind those words, thou shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. She believed. She was firmly persuaded that it would be so. She did not go to others after she received this instruction and said and told her and told them her story. I have to pay the creditor by such and such a time, and if I don't, he's going to take away my sons and sell them as slaves. And all I have is this pot of oil. And I went to Elisha, and Elisha told me to go to my neighbors and borrow as many empty vessels as I could. And once I had done that, to just keep pouring from that pot of oil into the empty vessels, and they'd be full. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think I should do? That's what many do.
They hear the instruction of God, and then they go to a lost and depraved world, and they say, "What do you think? What do you think I should do?" And how many people in the world are going to say, "Ma'am, I believe you ought to listen to what Elisha said." I don't think so. But that's what people do. But she believed. She believed enough in the instruction of God that she did not have to go anywhere else for advice. She didn't have to go and ask people, "What do you think? What do you think I should do?" People spend weeks and months and even years asking people, "What do you think I should do?" until they finally hear what they want to hear. But no, she didn't do that. As strange as Elisha's words seemed, she believed. She believed the message of God. She believed that God could. Whatever comes, and again I continue to remind you, it could be anything. Believe God. Believe God. Whatever problem comes into your life, know and believe God can solve this problem. God has the answer for this problem. God is the answer for this problem. Whatever need comes into your life, know and believe God can provide for this need. Whatever obstacles come into your life, know and believe God can overcome this obstacle. Whatever prisons come into your life, know and believe God can release me. God can set me free. Whatever burdens come into your life, know and believe that God can carry this burden. Whatever plagues come into our lives, know and believe God can heal. God can heal this plague. Whatever storms come into our lives, know and believe that God can calm the storm. And if He doesn't calm the storm, God can calm my heart in the storm. You have to know and believe these things. Knowing and believing to the degree that you don't have to take a worldwide tour to find out what everyone else thinks. Whatever waywardness comes into your life, know and believe that He can reverse it. Whatever comes into your life, know and believe He can reverse it. Whatever brokenness comes into your life, know and believe He can mend this. God can fix this. God can restore this. Whatever battle comes into your life, know and believe He can give me victory. This woman believed what God said, even though it was contrary to human reason and human thought. Believing leads to the next step. She obeyed the instruction of God. Verse 5, so she went from him. Now it is obvious because the next words we see are in the house. So it is obvious that she went from him and obeyed the instruction to borrow empty vessels from her neighbors. Again, I assure you, she did not understand how one pot of oil could fill multiple vessels. She didn't have to understand. She only needed to believe. She believed that God was able to do what He said. And as a result, she obeyed. She laid aside all of her pride. She surrendered to God's way. And she went through her neighborhood to borrow empty vessels. In other words, her faith caused her to act. Her faith caused her to be patient and persistent. Perhaps, we don't know, but perhaps, she went to the first house. Can I borrow some empty vessels? No, you can't! Rejection. Maybe that happened the first few houses. But she just kept saying, I believe God. I believe God. And she just kept on going from house to house. Can I borrow any empty vessels that you can spare? Doesn't matter what it is. I'll take the churn, the milk pail, the vinegar jugs, syrup buckets, whatever. But if you have any empty vessels that you can share. And I believe God laid it on the hearts of her neighbors to give those empty vessels. But I'm sure as she asked for empty vessels, some might have said, well, what in the world for? And perhaps she began to tell her story. And I imagine as she did, and, well, Elisha told me to do this, and that I would be able to fill these empty vessels with my pot of oil. I'm sure there was ridicule. I'm sure there was mockery. But she kept on obeying. Why? Because she knew that God was able. Many probably told her, ma'am, they may have even called her by name, you shouldn't listen to such nonsense. Elisha doesn't have any clue what he's talking about. Let me tell you about so-and-so. Let me tell you about my cousin, what he did when he had a similar situation. Let me tell you about my aunt or my uncle and what worked for them. And perhaps she became discouraged momentarily. But she didn't get stuck there. She kept on obeying, knowing that God was able. This world will discourage you. And we all fall into discouragement. Hopefully it's just momentarily. And we begin to remind ourselves, God is able. God is able. I'm sure, because it's what people do, I'm sure there was plenty of advice. I don't care what problem you have, you'll find some advice. Somebody will be willing to give you advice. They may have never experienced the problem. Maybe they have, and they'll tell you what worked for them. That doesn't mean that's what will work for you. But I'm sure there was plenty of advice, and I'm sure all of the advice was contrary to the message of God, perhaps causing her to think momentarily of other avenues that she could possibly take. But again, she didn't get stuck there. She believed God, and she just kept on obeying. We need to realize that God is not a shortcut. Many view Him as that. God's not a shortcut. He is the solution, though. He is the solution. We don't know how many hours, maybe it went on for days, I don't know. How long she persisted in going from neighbor to neighbor. But however long it is, you just keep on believing and you just keep on following the instruction of God. Perhaps the first neighbor she went to, or one of the neighbors, perhaps the first empty vessel she received was 20 times bigger than her pot of oil. And humanly she thought, well, how in the world is my pot of oil going to fill this thing? But she didn't get stuck there. She just kept on believing. God is able. God is able. And she kept on obeying. Seventhly,
She got alone with God, away from the distractions. Per Elisha's instruction, she was to borrow as many empty vessels as she could from her neighbors. She was to return home with those vessels. And his instruction in verse 4 is, shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. Notice her obedience in verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons. Notice those words, shut the door. They are significant. They teach an indispensable spiritual principle. We see the same words later on in the chapter in verse 33. We see Elisha and the miracle of restoring life. And it says, he went therefore and shut the door. And shut the door. Christ, of course, taught this principle in Matthew 6 and verse 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And many stop there. They'll say, you know, you need a prayer closet. Yeah, you do, but you need to also shut the door. Enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. The teaching of shut the door is get along with God. Whatever comes, and it could be anything, shut the door. Get along with God. Get away from all the distractions that get in the way of focusing upon Him. Again in verse 5, she shut the door upon her and upon her sons. Now in our day, she would shut the door, but she'd make sure she had her cell phone. That's not shutting the door. That's not shutting the door. She would make sure that she had access to the outside. I might die in here and somebody's got to find me. Somebody may need to get a hold of me. That's not shutting the door. Shutting the door is getting along with God and shutting out all possible distractions. People do not know how to do that today. And it's killing us. She shut the door. And there they are. Her and her two sons. They have a pot of oil. They have numerous empty vessels of all shapes and sizes. And there they are, alone with God. She shut the door upon her and her sons. All worldly distractions have been shut out. And alone with God, she takes her pot of oil. One of her sons hands her an empty vessel. And she pours from that pot of oil until that particular empty vessel is full. One of her sons passes her another empty vessel, perhaps bigger than the first. And she again takes that pot of oil and pours until the empty vessel is full. And another empty vessel is passed to her. And another. And they're all filled from that pot of oil. A miracle of multiplication is taking place. that she cannot explain. But she can see it happening. You'll be surprised what you see when you get alone with God. You'll be surprised what you see. You'll be surprised what is revealed when you shut out all worldly distractions. So she poured and poured and poured until there were no more vessels. She shut the door upon her and her sons. And oh, what a time they had. What a time. What a time they had behind that closed door. Whatever comes, and it could be anything. Shut the door. Get alone with God. Shut the door. Whatever comes into your life, shut the door. Shut out all the distractions. Shut out everything that might get in the way of you focusing upon Him. Get alone with God. Shut the door. She continued to seek God's instruction. So there she is behind the closed door with her two sons. She still has her pot of oil. In addition to that, she's surrounded with vessels that are full of oil. But she still has her debt. The creditor is coming at any time. There's still the threat of losing her sons. The only thing that has changed is she now has an abundance of oil. And I imagine as she looked at all of those pots of oil, she said, "Now what do I do? Now what do I do?" So what did she do? Not knowing what to do, she sought God again through Elisha. Notice verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God. The instruction he gave her was go, sell the oil. God had already lined up buyers, by the way. Go and sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. So she went, and she sold the oil. Perhaps, first person she goes to, "Sir, would you like to buy some oil?" "No, I don't need any." Perhaps that happened several times. But she knew, "I can sell this oil, not because I'm a great salesman, but because this is the instruction of God." So she kept on obeying. And eventually she sold all the oil and all the joy that began to fill her heart when she sold the oil. First person she sold it to just counted out the money. All the joy. It's not enough yet. Can you imagine the joy? She knew what she owed the creditor. Can you imagine the joy that filled her heart when she had that much money? But he told her to sell all the vessels of oil, sell the oil. And she kept on. And all the joy. And all the joy and the praise that filled her heart when the creditor came knocking on her door. And I'm certain that he thought he would be taking her two sons that day. And she said, "Just wait 1 minute." And she went back and she counted out everything she owed him. There you are. All the praise and all the joy that filled her heart. When she was able to pay the creditor, not only was she able to pay the creditor, but because of that, she was able to keep her sons. And it was all due to a miracle of God. It wasn't due to her ingenuity. It was due to a miracle of God. Imagine the thanksgiving that filled her heart when she was able to go out and buy food day after day. I believe for the rest of their lives. And imagine the joy that filled her heart every time they sat down at a table full of food. And imagine the joy of her heart every time she looked at her sons and thought about how close she was to losing them. But God worked a miracle. Whatever comes into your life, and it could be anything, never stop seeking the Lord's instruction. When she got to the point where she didn't know what to do, she sought to God again. God doesn't give us instruction all at once. You obey and then you go back for more. That's the way God works. I remind you today, that whatever your condition, whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, whatever it is, whatever form the creditor takes, whatever it is that has come into your life, God still can. Don't give up. You can give up on humanity. You can give up on yourself. But don't give up on God. He still can. He is still the great miracle worker. I've heard people say, Brother Dan, it'll take a miracle. Praise the Lord. I know the one who can do that. You need to go to Him. You need to go to Him. It's a good thing when we get to that place, it's going to take a miracle. Praise the Lord, because we know the one who can do just that. Many miracles are needed today. God still fills empty vessels. Our problem many times is we're not empty. Are we empty of self, self-will, self-ideas, self-ways? God specializes in filling emptiness. What a wonderful God we have. And if you believe the message of God, you will not find much encouragement from the world. They're going to say that. Certainly you don't believe that. Certainly you don't believe that. Oh yeah, I do. Well, you realize that's a bunch of nonsense. No, I really don't. Just keep unbelieving. You won't receive much encouragement from the world. Sadly, you won't receive a whole lot of encouragement from God's people. But you just keep unbelieving. God can do this. God can. I can't. But God can. Do you need a miracle today? Seek the miracle worker. Do what He says. Get alone with God. Shut the door. Follow His instruction. It'll amaze you what God will do. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.